This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Fencing disputes are one of the most common types of neighbour disputes we receive at Citizens Advice Bureau. The Fencing Act 1978 has governed how neighbours share cost and responsibility for boundary fences. For many years, obviously, it's almost half a century of legislation about something most of us take for granted, and it still surprises plenty of us. And so if you think you can build first and invoice later, well, that strategy can go very wrong.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora, nō mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau, Oti Poti Dunedin's monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. Ko Anna Tokuingua, I'm the manager at Citizens Advice Bureau here in Dunedin. So tonight we're going to talk about shared boundary fences, who pays for replacing a fence, if it's damaged or falling apart, what if one property has damaged it? Yes, and who pays in that situation? What is the formal process to follow, and if you can't agree informally with your neighbour? So what are the rules if I want to build or repair a boundary fence between your property and your neighbours? In general, you do not need a building consent for a fence that will be 2.5 metres or less, but it is a good idea to check with your council, because depending on what you're planning, you may need resource consent. The Fencing Act 1978, the Act, covers the law around building and repairing fences in New Zealand. But as mentioned, there are local bylaw, but local council bylaws as well. So Dunedin City Council generally permits residential fences up to 2 metres high on a side or rear boundary, but on a front boundary, if it's on a road reserve, like the road is in front of you, or reserve boundary, they like 50% has to be visually permeable, which I guess means see-through. You know, so like a trellis. So 50% of any front boundary has to be see-through and can only be 1.4 metres high. Fences over 2.5 metres require building consent. And just to be aware, the DCC does not handle boundary disputes unless the fence is dangerous. Or obviously, they're going to get involved if one side is on something they own. But, yeah. So, if you're thinking of building a fence in, between you and your neighbour, or replacing an existing one, the first thing to do is to talk to your neighbour and discuss your plans. And keep the proposal reasonable. They are actually entitled to object if they disagree about what is appropriate. But just always remember that you will continue living next to each other, so you want to keep things civil as possible. So just chat to them, try to discuss and agree on the details, like the height of the fence, what building materials it will be made of, the design, and how much to spend on building the fence. Even if a fence is on your property or on your neighbour's, if its main function is to separate the two properties, then it is considered under the law to be a boundary fence. And the same rules apply. It's just good to know. So, also good practice is to get your agreement in writing. So, if you or your neighbour agree to the fence work and how costs will be shared, try to put it in writing. So that will, you know, if there's a dispute later, you've got this written agreement that you hopefully both signed. It can be used as evidence. Like, for example, if it ever went to the disputes tribunal or something, which I'll talk more about later. So if you or your neighbour do not agree after this informal discussion, you can actually serve them with a fencing notice. So under the Fencing Act 1978, if you and your neighbour cannot reach an agreement of the repair or building of a boundary fence, you can give them this fencing notice. This notice gives your neighbour 21 days to respond. Your neighbour can give you a cross notice if they disagree with your plans. For your example, it can ask you to build a cheaper fence than what is described in your fencing notice. If you do not respond within 21 days, they will be deemed to have agreed to the proposals. So like if your neighbour, so if you write one, your neighbour has 21 days to respond, and if you don't hear from them, that's sort of almost saying that they've agreed to your proposal and they will have to share the cost. So we're going to just go a little bit more into fencing notices and cross notices later. So in the situation where repairs are urgent, you don't actually have to give prior notice. So if a fence is damaged or destroyed by a sudden accident or other cause and needs immediate work and the neighbour is away, you can arrange to get the necessary work done without giving your neighbour notice. You can ask your neighbour to pay for half of the cost when they return. In this case, though, the newer the repair fence must be the same as what was there before or what they deem an adequate fence. The Fencing Act describes an adequate fence as one that is adequate in nature, condition, and state of repair, is reasonably satisfactory for the purpose that it serves or is intended to serve. So you cannot upgrade the fence without your neighbour's agreement. If you do not notify your neighbour before building a fence and it was not urgent, your neighbour can refuse to pay towards the cost of the fence. They can also object to the new fence in the disputes tribunal or district court. For example, to get an order to dismantle the fence. As you and your neighbour must live by each other, again, I've said this, it is best to try to come to an agreement about the fence before it gets this far. So, and if you can't agree with them, there are some resolution options if it's still unresolved. But I'm going to talk more about the dispute resolution options a little bit later. So who pays for the building or repairing it? So you can ask your neighbour to pay their fair share. Generally, neighbours on either side of a boundary fence share equal costs for building, repairing or replacing an adequate boundary fence. The Fencing Act doesn't apply to certain types of land, however, like roads or national parks, but a paddock bordering residential properties is generally covered. Neighbours who do not have to share equal responsibility for the cost of building or repairing a boundary fence would be in these following situations. Say if the fence is damaged by one neighbour, so they damaged or destroyed it, the neighbour who did the damage should pay the whole cost of the repairs. And that includes if the fence is damaged because of one of the neighbour's tree roots. So if one neighbour wants to pay more, that might be another situation where you wouldn't share equally. So if one neighbour wants a more expensive boundary fence than the other, they could offer to pay more or all of the cost. In this case, if both parties agree to it, then the shared cost can be agreed between the parties. If there's a contract, a covenant or an agreement that states what happens, sometimes, like with new subdivisions, there's a contract or a covenant or some sort of agreement that states how the neighbours will share the costs relating to the properties. And in that case, the neighbours must share the costs according to what that contract or covenant or agreement says. The other thing to be aware of is that you might be eligible for some financial assistance from Work and Income. So if you're on a low income and cannot afford to pay for a new fence and you're on a benefit, Work and Income may be able to help you. You may have to pay the money back, depending on your situation, but you may be able to get help if you're receiving a benefit, a pension or superannuation, New Zealand Super, if you have an immediate and essential need and the repairs or maintenance are needed to keep your home to a reasonable living standard. And if you've also been to your bank or another provider, but they weren't able to help you. It also depends on how much you and your partner earn, if you have one, and any money or assets that you and your partner, if you have one, have. So your income will be assessed either weekly or yearly, depending on the kind of help you qualify for. Generally, you can get up to $1,000 depending on your situation. And you'd have to call WINS to book an appointment. Their general number is 800-559-009. During the appointment, they'll need to try and understand your situation and how they can help, and they'll let you know what information you'll need to provide. But that'll be things like evidence that you own your home, evidence that you live in your home, evidence that you went to your bank, but your application was unsuccessful, and evidence of the costs you're applying for, like quotes of the fence. So let's go look in a little bit more into the fencing notices and what your neighbour can do if they disagree, or you can do if you disagree with their fencing notice. So it's basically a formal process for agreeing on building or repairing a boundary fence. If you and your neighbour cannot come to an informal agreement, you start this formal process by giving them a fencing notice. As I said, it has information about the type of work you want and how much their share of the cost will be. A cross notice is what your neighbour or you, depending on who served the 21-day, sorry, who served the fencing notice in the first place, the cross notice is what you can serve back if you do not agree with the plan set out in the fencing notice. And that cross notice must be served within 21 days of receiving the fencing notice. So the fencing notice must have some details, right? And it should say that you intend to work on the fence as discussed, if you have already discussed it with them, and if your neighbour does not agree to pay, for example, they might be a tenant and they believe that their landlord should pay, they must tell you within 21 days the reason why and give you the name and address of their landlord or whoever they believe should pay. If your neighbour or the property owner does not respond within 21 days, they will be considered to have agreed to the proposal and will have to share half the cost. You should also include in your notice your neighbour's name and address, the boundary along which work is to be done, the type of fence, how it will be built, for example, by you or by a fencing contractor, how you will get and pay for the materials, an estimate of the cost of the work, and the date the work will begin. There's actually a list of fence types in the Fencing Act 1978 legislation, if you're interested. There's also sample fencing notices and the cross notice templates in Schedule 1 at the end of the Fencing Act 1978. So, how do you serve a fencing notice? Well, you have to sign and date the fencing notice, make a copy of it for your own records. You can deliver the notice to your neighbour either by registered letter or by giving it to them in person. This is called serving notice. As mentioned, your neighbour can serve you a cross notice if they don't agree with it. They must do it in the 21 days, and the cross notice, they have to say why they're objecting to it. Why they're objecting to your proposal. So that might be on the grounds that the existing fence is adequate, that your proposal is excessive, or how the costs will be shared is unreasonable. They can also object to being asked to pay, as I said, if they don't own the property. The cross notice must also contain details of your neighbour's objection to your proposal and details of any counter proposals that they want to make. They should use the cross notice template that I mentioned that you can find in Schedule 1 of the Fencing Act. And the no neighbour has to serve you with the cross notice by either giving it to you in person or sending it to you by registered mail. So, what if your neighbour doesn't own the property, or there is no one living there? How might you find out who owns a property? Well, you can contact your local council. So they have most councils have available they do have publicly available rating information databases, and they hold rating information about addresses, including property owner details. So anyone can visit council offices and find the owner and postal details for a specific property. This information is also available on websites such as Quotable Value in New Zealand. where for, you know, you have to pay a small fee, but anyone can request property ownership details that way. You may find that personal information about property owners is sometimes not available, though, because individuals can ask the council for non-disclosure and confidentiality of their name and postal details. If they have not asked for this, however, you'll be able to find their information. You can order another way to find out who owns a property is you can order a copy of the record of title from LINZ. So Land Information New Zealand, LINZ, holds the titles register, which contains all property ownership details. It's legislatively bound by statute to disclose property ownership details upon request. If you want to identify the owner of a property without talking to its occupant directly, for example, because there's no one living on the property, you can look up the name of the owner on the record of title. If the property is up for sale, the real estate agent should have a copy of the record of a title for you to view. You will need to find the property's legal description. So you can do this by visiting the Dunedin City Council website. You can look under services, rates information, and then look at rates by street address. Type in the street address that you're looking for, and the legal description is there. It'll look something like Lot 1 DP 1234, or for older properties it might say section da 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 town of Dunedin. You can also use the online land record search on the LINZ website, and it costs $8 to order a land title, and the information is emailed to you as a PDF. So that's on www.linz.govt.nz, and then under order a title. So you can do that. If you're not able to find the land information title using the database, you can complete an order form online or download a form and send the completed form to the address that it tells you about on the form, and that costs $25. The land title will not include any contact details for the owner, though. But if you need to contact the property owner, you may need to do some other detective work. So, like, that could be looking in phone books, looking in the online white pages, searching electoral rolls, looking on social media, talking to people in the neighbourhood who might know the owner. Yep. So in summary, the steps to take if you want to replace or repair a building fence are: discuss it with your neighbour, try to agree on details, height, materials, design, cost, serve a fencing notice. If you can't reach an agreement through discussion or to formalise the process, you know, have it in writing and have it on record, you can serve the formal notice, and that should include the details like proposed work, estimated costs, how costs should be shared. You can respond, then the other party can respond to the cross notice if they disagree. And then if you still can't come to agreement, you'd have to seek some dispute resolution. So if you and your neighbour cannot agree after following all of that process, you have a few options to resolving the dispute, including mediation. And in Dunedin, we're very lucky because we have Dunedin Community Mediation, which is a free service. They're a trained team of volunteer mediators and will provide free or low-cost mediation and conflict resolution service to meet community needs. They're available to groups or individuals experiencing conflict, including neighbours. Most are free, but you can choose to give a small koha after your mediation donation. So you just have to contact them, and then, you know, they'll set up a time and a place that's convenient to the people involved, somewhere where everyone feels comfortable. You can call them on 0800 112 462 or email them on dcmediate@gmail.com. They don't take sides. They don't blame or tell people what to do, and they don't make decisions or judgments or give legal advice. They just guide people through the mediation process, and they keep their conversations confidential, and they encourage honest and respectful conversations. Yep. So another option, if you can't come to an agreement after completing the notice process, is to go to the disputes tribunal. It's cheaper, quicker, and less formal way to deal with a dispute than going to court. The hearings are private. They're close to the public and the media. You cannot have a lawyer to represent you. Hearings can also be held using audiovisual services. or telephone, you know, or video conferencing, but only if the referee is satisfied that it's appropriate. There are no judges at the disputes tribunal. The trained referee runs the hearing. Their decisions are binding, even though they're not judges. They're usually legally qualified, though. Referees are chosen because they can make common sense decisions and help people to reach their own agreement. People cannot agree, the referee can make a decision about how to resolve the dispute, but in both cases, the decision is legally binding. If you find English difficult and you will need an interpreter, you can tell the disputes tribunal as soon as you can. If you lodge a claim or, you know, they can get an independent interpreter for the hearing, which is free. So how do you make a claim at the disputes tribunal? Well, you can do it on an online form, or you can download and complete a paper form and mail it to the Ministry of Justice, or deliver it to, in person to your local district court. If you're printing it out, you need to provide 3 copies of the form, but not if you're doing it online. What do you need to do to prepare? Well, you usually don't have to give evidence under oath, and you don't need to dress formally, and you can wear clothes you're comfortable in, and it's informal and no judge. But you have to make sure all the relevant information is submitted. You can add more information to your claim even after you submit the initial paperwork. You just email it through the tribunal and get them to attach the information to your file, or you can just bring the information on the day. But practice your argument, you know, write down the main things you want to say and organise them into clear and logical order to explain your side of the story. Bring any supporting documents that might support your dispute, you know, letters, invoices, receipts, screenshots, agreements or contracts, quotes, photographs. You can use your phone as evidence, but it's better to provide paper copies of messages or emails. If the outcome you want is for the other party to be ordered to pay money to your bank, you know, bring your bank account details as well. It's also important to include evidence to support any monetary claims you are making, for example, quotes, invoices, receipts, etc. And so again, so we can help you with any of that stuff that we've just talked through tonight. You know, if you're a bit stuck in the process or you're just not about sure about any of it. We also have a number of articles on our website, www.cab.org.nz, that are relating to the information we've shared with you tonight. Like, one article is, what are the rules if I want to build or repair a boundary fence between my property and my neighbours? Another article we have is, what is a fencing notice and what can my neighbour do if they disagree with my fencing notice? Another article we have is, who pays for building or repairing a boundary fence? We have another one, what is the disputes tribunal? What decisions can they make? How do I make a claim at the disputes tribunal? Another one, what do I need to do to prepare for a disputes tribunal hearing? But if you need help with anything we've discussed, like I said, or any other issue you have, we're here to help you. You can call us direct in Dunedin on 03471 6166, or you can call the nationwide free phone on 0800 367 222, but be aware it can be answered anywhere in New Zealand. You can always ask them to call us and you know, we can call you back though. So just be aware of that though, that you're not talking to someone in some other part of the country. You can call in and see us at 155 Princess Street. The best times are Monday to Thursday, 10:30 to, say, 3, because we need a lot of time to help you. You know, don't walk in that last hour, because some things are quite complex and we need time to deal with it. Yeah, so walk-in times are good between 10:30 and 3. It's often a good idea to just call first to see how busy we are as well, and just be aware that we close on Fridays at 1, so best walk-in times on Fridays are 10 to 12. Citizen Voice is here to help you know, understand and exercise your rights and obligations under the law here in New Zealand and how to resolve your issues. Our help and advice is free and we can help anyone about anything. We're independent of any government agency and anything we talk about remains completely confidential. This Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau show plays on the second Wednesday of the month at 8:30 p.m. and then the following Thursday at 1 p.m. on ORFM 105.4 FM. Episodes are available on podcast on the ORFM website or .org.nz under shows, Resettling in Aotearoa. If you have enjoyed the show tonight and found the information helpful, please share our show and the podcast with friends, whānau and your workmates. Ngā mihi kia koe for tuning in this evening and listening. Hope it's been helpful. Kia pai te pō. Have a great evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.